This is a crowd podcast.
A huge thank you to today's Patreon sponsor, Sarah Buss. Thank you so much, Sarah. It really does make a huge difference to the show Carry On, and we really do appreciate it.
Yeah, we so do, and we love you so much. And we also have some really exciting changes coming to our Patreon soon, including getting exclusive access to our live show recordings. And if you'd like to join our Patreon and help keep the show going, head to patreon.com/goloveyourself for more information. Membership starts from £1 a week, and you'll also get access to ad-free and early episodes. Or you can also support the show by subscribing on Apple Podcasts, and the link to all of those will be in the episode description. Welcome to Go Love Yourself.
Do you know what? All of this talk about almonds is making me crave a Bakewell tart.
I love a Bakewell tart. The best Bakewell tarts, if you're in the UK, I think, are Morrison's, the fresh ones. Oh,
really? Not the one that I made you a few years ago?
I loved that one.
You can't even remember it,
I can't remember it. Which one?
So, hot topic of the week, no pun intended, is your beautiful fireplace, which for some reason took you 7 hours to decorate and then edit.
That's not so. Like, the thing is, so if you don't follow me on Instagram, one, why not? And two, like, I feel like at the time of recording this, the previous week is when the weather finally changed. So I was like, now is the time. If anyone has a fireplace in their house and you are not seasonally decorating it, I don't understand what's going on. So it is now, it is time, as Mufasa says, to change it to autumn. And I wanted to film it for a little reel and give people, like, you know, colourful Halloween inspo. But, like, you know the voiceover videos that you hear on Instagram and TikTok and stuff? I don't know how anybody does them in under 7 hours, Laura. I don't get it. I sat there and wrote a full script 3 times.
Oh,
is
babes.
That not what people do?
You need to get quicker. Oh. No, I'm down to, like, 20-minute edits
20
now.
20-minute edits? Like, nah.
Yeah.
That took me... The edit... We'll talk about this elsewhere, but, like, the edit of the video is not too bad. But it's that I write scripts for the voiceovers. Maybe I shouldn't just ad hoc it.
Mate, you're trying too hard.
I think I'm trying too hard. But anyway, the moral of the story is autumn has arrived at my fireplace and it's so cute and cozy.
I'm so happy. It was really cute. It was really lovely. And do you know what? Like, and I mean this in a really nice way. Like, it was, like, modest. Like, because I see what, do you know,
no,
what I'm going to say?
More than, you've just called my, like, modest. And I'm wondering, like, because normally, Lauren, you're not. Like,
no, what it is that I've been seeing lots of people decorating, like, the front of their houses with these elaborate pumpkins. And they must cost thousands, maybe more, hundreds. I don't know. I kind of, like, I just think it's, like, consumerism and I don't love it. And it makes me feel, like, pressure to do something that I don't really have the money for right now because we're moving. And I don't know. I just find it a little bit icky, but I'm all for cute fireplaces, and it's not to, like, yuck someone's yum. And it's like, I always think, you know, if it's your money, spend it how you want. But I remember Mark Wright,
yes.
Do you know Mark, he's married to Michelle Keegan. I remember seeing his, like, house renovations for Christmas last year, the Christmas lights. And I was just like, you just come across like an entitled prick. Sorry, Mark, I'm sure you're really nice. But I just think it's that showy offiness I don't like in general. So, yeah, I love the fireplace, genuinely. What I mean was, I like the fact that you didn't spend hundreds of pounds on it. And it wasn't like a showy off thing. It was just cute. I'm going to stop talking now because I feel like...
No, you're so right. It's so true because I feel like this year specifically, and we mentioned this in our episode last week when we talked about, like, how the Christmas decor and stuff has started earlier, and the autumn decor I think is more intense this year. And obviously, you know, brands want you to buy stuff. You know, I give into it. I'm so close to buying a bloody pumpkin shaped casserole pot. When was the last fucking time I made a casserole, Laura?
Never. Same, honestly. And this is what I mean. It's consumerism at its finest.
We, like, don't need it. So keep your wits about you. The total cost of the stuff that's on my fireplace probably cost me £50 absolute max, and that's over 2 years. So it's fine. But I'm not being funny. Places like B&M and Poundland, loads of my stuff is there from Poundland, Facebook Marketplace, all of that. Look for charity shops as well. We'll have loads of bits and bobs in. So if you do want to, like, seasonal decor, how has this become a money chat? Love this. You know, think about being sustainable or don't spend hundreds of pounds if you don't have it.
Don't spend anything if you don't want
to. Don't get a £10 pumpkin casserole dish if you don't ever make a bloody casserole. I don't know why that's not common sense in our heads when we're looking at these casserole dishes, Laura.
I know. I did see one in Next, actually. I was at the tills and I saw one. You know when they have the stuff that's there to entice you? And I was like, oh, a shiny orange casserole dish in the shape of a pumpkin that I'll never use. And I did not buy it, but I get the temptation. Yeah.
Do you remember when impulse buys used to be like gum at the queue in Tesco's and now it's...
I thought you were going to say gun. I was like, no,
I don't know.
That went somewhere.
We don't live in that country, babes, where they sell them in supermarkets. America, I am looking at you. No, it's now like, yeah, £20 things that we don't need and we get enticed about it. Maybe we need to do an episode on that, babes. Just don't get enticed about all the things. But yes, the moral of the story is autumn is here. How do you feel about autumn officially being here? I feel like your season is autumn.
I am so happy it's autumn. I was really done with being hot and sweaty and having a sweaty vag and beep sweat. Yeah, no, I was just, I've been over it for a while. I can't cope with heat, actually. I find it actually genuinely, not to sound like a brat, but I just find it really awful and uncomfortable to deal with. So I'm ready. Do you know what? Recently, it's been like really sunny and cold and crisp. Those are my favourite days. I feel so old.
Me too, because I'm like, yeah, I can really appreciate the changing of the seasons.
I'm happy to hunker down for cozy season, watch some Gilmore Girls.
Yeah, how's that going?
Have some hot chocolate.
Have you watched it?
Do you know what? I've replaced Gilmore Girls with, this is going to shock you, and I think quite a few people listening, I have fallen down a Married at First Sight rabbit hole.
No, you have not.
I watched Married at First Sight, yes, the time of recording.
UK or Australia?
UK, current one. Yeah. I watched it for 9 hours this Sunday gone. 9 hours. 9 hours of my life gone. And I had to sit through adverts. I had to watch it on like catch up. Like, I couldn't even skip it.
That's
obsessed.
Intense.
I'm so invested in these people's lives. And I don't go in for reality TV. Mate, I'm absolutely hooked. Have you seen it?
I haven't seen this season. I have caught a couple of seasons of Married at First Sight Australia, which have been wild. But I hear this UK season is just as wild as the Australia seasons.
Yeah.
So I think you've picked a good one to start with. And don't you get so invested?
Yeah.
But however, what I will say about Married at First Sight, isn't it annoying that half of the episode is recapping bits that we've just seen?
This is not American TV. I feel like American TV shows do this a lot. And like, we don't need the recap. Like, I'm perfectly capable of remembering what happened 3 minutes ago. Thank you. Get on with it.
The whole episode, and then this one tiny bit of drama happens, and they extend it out. But yes, ma'am.
So, are you happy? It's autumn. You've got some exciting things coming up. I feel like, when are you off to New York?
So, at the time of you guys listening to this, our lovely listeners, I will be in New York, having just celebrated my birthday with my mum and my sister. I'm so excited. At the time of recording, it's a couple of days away, and I can't really think about it because I'll get too emotional about seeing my sister. Nope. No feelings. No to the feelings.
Turn it off. Like, before we get into the episode, sorry, this is quite a long intro, but we haven't caught up for a little while. Lauren told me the other day, the musical theatre geek that she is. Do you mind me sharing this?
Absolutely not. Go for it.
So Book of Mormon musical, which we're both big fans of. It's like a parody musical, right? And it's all like really funny. And there's a song about telling your feelings off. And it goes like, turn it off like a light switch. And we know that
Lauren... Like a light switch. Just go click.
It's a nifty little Mormon trick. Lauren, whenever I ask her about her sister, she starts talking, she starts getting teary, and she goes, nope, and she goes, turn it off, and she just bursts into song like a light switch. And then we have to change the subject. It's her new coping strategy, and I'm sure a therapist would tell her that this is not the way to go.
It is the most mentally unhealthy thing I do for somebody who's actually quite emotionally intelligent. As we've talked about, I have a high EQ.
Yeah, EQ.
But yeah, when it comes to missing my sister, that is the song. And literally me and my mum, I got my mum to do it because you can't. How do you, if you're missing someone and you can't see them, like she's however many thousands of miles away, I can't do anything about it. So just sit there and I literally tap my forehead like this. You can't see me, listeners, but I'm tapping my forehead and I go, turn it off like a light switch. Just go click.
Love it. Okay, yeah. Right. Shall we get on with the episode? So we've been speaking a lot recently about the diet culture that we grew up with, and we thought it would be a cool idea to do some hot takes on this episode, starting with something that we've seen a lot of on social media lately, which is the topic of almond mums, hashtag almond mums, hashtag childhood trauma. And it's basically people like joking around about the kind of like health focused parents that a lot of people grew up with. So Lauren, have you seen any of this content, and what do you make of it? What does the almond mum mean to you?
So first of all, I don't know if this is a regional dialect thing. Bear in mind, we live about 5 miles from each other. But I say almond mum, not almond mum. So that's a conversation, and we can take that offline,
she's
Laura.
She's posh. She says almond.
Darling, I'm from Maidstone, not Medway, so we'll talk. But yes, I did see it. This basically came about as kind of, you know, one of these like internet reaction things to a clip of Gigi Hadid and her mum, Yolanda? Yolanda or Yolanda. And Gigi said something like, oh, I'm hungry. And her mum said, oh, we'll have an almond then, and just crunch it up really good and take your time eating it. And like Gigi was obviously like, okay. And then I think that basically triggered a bunch of people being like, ah, many, many parents are the same. Luckily my mum is not like that to any extent, but I think we all probably know there are levels of it, aren't there? There's, you know, I used to get a lot of I still get now, you're still hungry, you had that for lunch and you're gonna have that for dinner. I've got a big appetite, leave me alone.
I can't possibly eat all that,
watch me. So that's where I've come from. And then I think it's just, it's really a TikTok thing, isn't it? That's
lots
of parodies about it and things like that.
Yeah. And I think in a way, I think it's quite healthy to talk about it. I think it's quite funny. Like I enjoy kind of watching the videos. And I think it's quite a healthy thing to laugh about it.
Maybe of course.
And to kind of go, but actually just to acknowledge it. Because I imagine for a lot of people growing up with an almond mum, they probably maybe felt quite alone in that. So actually seeing other people saying, oh, is it just me or whatever? And it's actually probably a big realization, I imagine, for a lot of people of like, oh, no wonder I have issues around food or around my body image, because my mum was like this. And I think a lot of mums were like that. It's a strange one, isn't it? I think I didn't grow up with an almond mum. I think I grew up with almost the opposite of like, eat whatever you want, mum. Like, and you know, food was always in abundance. My mum grew up not with food poverty, but with food scarcity. So she was kind of left to fend for herself quite a lot.
Okay.
And so like sometimes I remember her telling me once that she would eat like raw potatoes and stuff, and that they were hungry quite a lot. And so I think, it's horrible, isn't it? And so like, bless her, I think I sort of counteract that quite a lot in our childhood. We sort of like, you know, there was a lot of food there in abundance. And I think that's true for a lot of people. Like food was a reward and a punishment. But I think in my house, it was a little bit more extreme. Certainly with my dad, it was very much, if you'd done anything good, it was like, have a treat, let's go out for dinner, have 5 donuts. And if I'd been bad, it was, well, you're not having pudding, or you know, do you know what I mean? It was just, it was just quite extreme. But yeah.
That's interesting. And a good point here to remember that, first of all, the term almond mum, I think, you know, all take it in the lighthearted way that it's sort of intended on social media and stuff, because people are doing parodies about it. But also the seriousness of it is what Laura kind of said, is our mums, or the generation of, or whoever brought you up, they behave like that because their mums probably behaved in a certain way, and their mums behaved in a certain way. And this is generational. So the diet culture that we grew up in, and the majority of people listening to this podcast of the 90s, noughties, 2010s, our mums were listening to it of the 60s, 70s, 80s. And in ways it was better, and in ways it was worse. So it's just a product of that. And it's, do you know what, Laura? Like, so much has just fallen into place for me about you.
Oh, really?
Knowing that about your mum.
Okay.
That's so interesting. Because then, of course, like, how could she not parent the way that she parented around food and making sure that you guys had enough, because she grew up with not enough.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wowzers.
I think, I know I've spoken a lot about it before, but I think there was a long period where I really resented my mum, because she was not an almond mum, as I said, but she was always on a diet mum, always eating different from us mum, never happy with her body mum. And I think, yeah, just the constant talk about diets and stuff, I always just found a bit upsetting and a bit triggering. And then it wasn't until really I was sort of like doing like research for this podcast and just kind of like talking to other people about it that I realised like we really shouldn't blame the mums because they are as much of a product of diet culture as we are, if not more, because they didn't have social media. They couldn't curate their news and their media and their information. They just had these magazines, which, as we know, were, and we talked about in a recent episode, were so toxic. And like my mum, I remember like talking to my mum and she just sat on the sofa one day and she was like, I just always thought I had to be on a diet. I thought that as a woman, I had to always be on a diet. And I was like, that is so fucking sad. So I'm glad that narrative is changing. We're kind of breaking that intergenerational cycle of diet culture. But yeah, there's still a way to go.
And that's what's quite good about these videos that are coming out. And again, I remind, you know, take it with a pinch of salt, these ones that are, you know, intended to make you laugh. It's nice that it sort of takes us out of it a little bit and reminds us that these diet culture things are really silly and it's okay to be hungry and it's okay to want to eat enough or whatever.
I saw one actually just last night. I'm sure my phone listens. scarily listens. And there was a family with mum and I think two or three daughters. And their caption was, when you go for dinner with an almond mum and you order pizza instead of the salad. And the mum's face, she was like genuinely really cross and upset. And I was just like, oh, how great it isn't it that those sisters can laugh about it and be like, roll their eyes, almond mum. But like for some people that will be really triggering and I'm sure has caused eating disorders or disordered eating. So yeah, as much as it is a funny trend, I'm really glad we're calling it out. Also, there is a kind of another side to it, which I think is more serious. You know, it's about health, isn't it? And I think, you know, like everything in moderation, like you should be able to go out and enjoy pizza, like if that's what you want. And chewing on an almond when you feel really faint is not gonna do it.
Hopefully as a generation we're now becoming more aware of how silly those kind of things are and being able to be like, yeah, all right, you know, some people you're never gonna, we say on this podcast quite a lot, don't we, you know, some people's minds you're never gonna change or perspectives you won't change. And sometimes it's okay to just be like, yeah, all right, mum, or whatever, and just move on from it. Also though, really interesting point about this, because obviously the stark feminist in me is like, well, you don't hear almond, dad, do you? But I thought about that last night when I knew we were going to be talking about this. I think we don't have almond dads because they're not a thing, because men are not subject to the same diet culture and body beauty standards as women are. So there's not naturally going to be them. So although there isn't them, and the point of almond mum is not blaming the mum. It's you know, just noticing a real thing that's happening here. But also men aren't kind of subject to the same thing anyway. So we're not going to have an almond dad.
Yeah, that is true. Although I would argue that my dad was much more of the person that commented on my weight and what I was eating than my mum.
Oh, okay, yeah, fair.
Yeah, because fair, he was more worried about what other people thought, I think, and that was a big thing for him. So it's different for everybody, isn't it? Like,
yeah, okay, that's very true. Maybe every family's different. We can only obviously speak about our own perspective. So that's a very good point. Damn. So that is our hot take on almond/almond mums.
Do you know what? All of this talk about almonds is making me crave a Bakewell tart.
I love a Bakewell tart. Really quickly, I know this podcast delves into food probably so much, but the best Bakewell tarts, if you're in the UK, I think are Morrison's, the fresh ones. Oh,
really? Not the one that I made you a few years ago?
I loved that one that you made me a few years ago. I can't remember. Which one
do you not remember? So this is how lovely Lauren is. So when I found out that I got off on Bake Off, she came round from work with balloons and I made a Bakewell tart that the icing was too thick and didn't quite go to the edges.
Oh, I do remember. And you made like a cake or a brownie or something like that at the same time, and it was all so good.
Oh, I made the Bake Off cake, the chocolate cake.
Oh mate, whatever you were doing was good times. Do you remember when you used to bake? Love that for me.
Don't, you sound like Matt and my dad.
I mean, look, this is it. We were the taste testers. If anyone has suffered, it is us.
I'm sorry. I mentioned this the other day online, but I just really lost my confidence a bit with baking, and I'm hoping my love for it will come back. But when like you literally have thousands of people online telling you you're shit at something, it does kind of have an effect.
Of course it does. I'm biding my time, and I think in 5 years' time for my 40th birthday, you will be back and making me another Bakewell tart.
All right. Let's see. You can hold me to that.
With almonds or almonds, TBC. Hot take number two from Laura and Lauren is about cosmetic surgery and what we're calling tweakments. This is sort of prevalent everywhere, I'd say.
Yeah.
And especially for those of you kind of in your 30s, 40s and upwards, you'll know people having cosmetic surgery or, you know, enhancements or tweakments or anything like that. So this is, we want to give our hot take.
So this is something I want to talk about because I have been sort of thinking about this a lot lately. I think having watched Married at First Sight for 9 hours, I've gotten very used to seeing people with face like filler, Botox, lip filler. It's mainly the lip filler, right, that is a thing for me, because I am just seeing it everywhere. And I think it's very obvious. And like you see like that kind of duck trout pout, right? And it's a really difficult one for me because I also want to say that there's no shame. I'm all for body autonomy. And I think people should do whatever they want to do. My sort of worrying concern is that it's become so normal that almost it feels like expected. I am someone personally who doesn't like that look. Like, I look at it and I think it looks quite fake and I don't particularly like it. But because I see everyone doing it, even I'm literally thinking, I feel like I should have lip filler. And I'm on TikTok and there is, as well as the Almond Mum hashtag, I constantly see people talking about lip fillers. And I see people that use, there's like an AI filter that shows you what you would look like. I have tried that more times than I would like to admit in the last few weeks.
Okay,
yeah. It doesn't suit me. I look ridiculous. I've just got naturally small lips and it just doesn't suit me, I don't think. So I don't think I would be opposed to it if it suited my face. And like I said, I'm all for body autonomy. I don't really know the point I'm trying to make. I think it's just, I find it a little bit concerning or just a little bit weird that I feel like I'm seeing everyone, I feels like everyone having these enhancements. A, they're really fucking expensive. And B, it's like, why are our natural faces not good enough? And I think, you know, if it comes from a place of like, if it makes you feel better, great. But I worry that it comes from a place of insecurity and us not feeling good enough. And if you're already someone that feels like you've got small lips or wrinkles or like a weird jaw or a big nose or something, that there's that added pressure because like it just feels like everyone's getting this stuff. And then I also think that it's sad because I feel like we've lost the kind of desire for uniqueness and character in our faces. And like a bigger nose is character and it's something that is different. And why do we all want to look the same? So I'm very conflicted, as you can probably hear. I totally agree that people should do what they want to do, but I also just find it a little bit sad.
I think it's a really good point to make because if you're somebody who is saying you starkly do not want to have lip filler or face filler or anything like that, and yet you're feeling like you kind of want it because the amount of you're seeing it like that, like it is a, you know, it's like peer pressure again. And it's, you know, like we talked about at the beginning, buying seasonal decor is one end of that. And then also getting lip filler is another end of that because I'm the same as you. I've got quite thin lips and I would probably, if I could afford it, I would probably have lip filler now. But it's not something I ever thought of growing up because I didn't know about it until Kylie Jenner got it.
Yeah.
And then everyone got it. And I've got a couple of friends who got it and it looks really good. Like you said, the main thing is it's people's choices.
Mm-hmm.
And where this is so difficult as, you know, hosts of a body confidence podcast is like where we sit on this. Because as I said, if I could afford it, I might have lip filler. I'm not sure. I would definitely 100% have Botox. If I could afford it, I would be having Botox, potentially even fillers. Because I want to. Because I want to. I really love my face. I don't want to. But again, it's not a need. It's a want.
Yeah.
So same as in 2020, I got Invisalign.
Yeah.
And I actually felt conflicted in that.
Did you?
Because I was like, it's almost a cosmetic procedure. It's a vanity thing. The only reason I'm doing it is for vanity. Like my bite was fine, like health wise, all fine. But doing Invisalign and getting my teeth straightened changed my confidence beyond belief. Like you don't even like, there's no words. I probably wouldn't be doing this, right? Genuinely. So doing that little thing changed my confidence. So sometimes it's, if someone's going to do something and it's going to help them or make them feel better about themselves, then that's cool. I think there's also a conversation of, are you doing it because you want to look like Becky from down the road?
and you're not, and also you're putting yourself into debt doing it. Don't like that at all. That's number one. Don't do it if you're putting yourself into debt. It's really hard because I'm very much like, I will likely get some of these procedures at some point, probably just Botox, to be honest. But I wouldn't want anybody to feel pressure to get it because I've got it or because other people have got it. It's really weird, Laura.
Yeah. I just wonder as well, like, if it's going to be one of those things, like the lips especially, and that look, the particular pout I'm talking about. I wonder if it's going to be the same as, like, you know how we look back on skinny 90s eyebrows?
Oh, it's a trend. But the thing is, it's also a trend that's been, I think Kylie Jenner got her lips done in like 2014, 15. It's been around for a long time.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
I don't see it going anywhere, if I'm honest.
I just always wonder, some of them look so big, they look so painful. Like, I just wonder how they kiss or drink drinks.
How do you kiss and drink drinks?
Please let us know. I hope it doesn't come across as judgmental. It's just like, we've all got an opinion on something, and it's just something that has kind of been niggling at me a little bit of just like, oh,
no,
wow, like, so
take.
Everyone's doing this now, like, do I need to do it?
But I think it's interesting that I think now, perhaps not so much maybe people our age, perhaps people younger are getting fillers, perhaps lip fillers or cheek fillers or whatever, or Botox, in droves, whereas we weren't doing that then. No. We were buying Dream Matte Mousse from Maybelline and hoping for the best, right?
Yeah. Mine was from Grazer Market, yeah.
Same. So we're just, it's a different thing, and perhaps the rate in which is increasing that people are having them is perhaps quite startling. But I'm so about body autonomy, and if you want to do it, do it. What I want to say here is make sure you're doing it for the right reasons. But the thing is, who knows what right reasons are? Do you know what I mean?
Like, they're also sort of like different levels. Like, you talking about Invisalign. Mm. I'd never consider that. Like, I know it is cosmetic and I completely agree with what you're saying. But I'd never considered that like the same as getting, you know, as if I was going to get a Botox or a lip fillers or anything like that. I just think when it's like, it's your teeth, it's your smile, it's like, making it's enhancing, not enhancing.
It's hard, isn't it? I suppose
it's enhancing what you've got.
But then that would be the same of Botox. It would, you know, if you've got lines on your head and it would, for example, you know, smooth it out, whatever you're going for. Yeah. Is it the same impact that just straightening is? I'm with you. I think this is what is really good, is that I think we've both potentially got different opinions on it, but also there's no right way or wrong way or anything like that. Mm. It's a hard one.
But then I also think, like, so where does it end? But it's like, if you start getting these tweakments, as we've, you know, started to call it now, and they're so prevalent, then is it considered normal? And then what next? Oh, next I want a nose job, next I want a boob job. And again, like, this is the thing, like, I know quite a few people that have had a nose job or a boob job, and it's changed their life. It's changed their confidence massively. And I have no issue with that. Like I said, I genuinely mean that. I think I'm just specifically talking about the face injectables, really, when it comes to it, because I just feel like it's so prevalent and it just feels like the done thing now. And I'm a bit like, oh, okay. I don't know. It's a weird one.
No, I think you're right. I think there feels like there's peer pressure to get these kind of things. And luckily, I think we feel it probably less than somebody who's like 25, which, thank God. And as I said, the rate of people getting them is the rate of, you know, us buying Touche Eclat from Estee Lauder 10 years ago. Like, things have changed, and now we're not just buying the same makeup. People are now injecting things into their face. But that's all fine. If one, you're doing it safely. If you are doing this, can I just please plead to you, get it done professionally. Don't get it done at somebody's back garden shed. They need to have professional clinical qualifications to put things into your face. And you can afford it.
And also, if you're someone that, like me, who was thinking, oh, well, I didn't really think I needed anything, but maybe I do, like, I kind of want to say to you, you don't need it. Like, I just to say, I'm sort of feeling the pressure too a little bit because I'm seeing it everywhere. But, like, I just think it's a bit like, maybe it's like tattoos. Like, I remember there was a time where I was like, oh, well, everyone's getting them. I really want one.
Yes. Yeah,
but now I'm like, I'm quite glad I didn't get one because I don't think I love anything that much to have it tattooed on me. I probably
Soz buddy.
Sorry, Matt. Sorry, buddy. You know what
Soz,
I mean.
I didn't even say Matt.
She knows the hierarchy in the house.
I think you hit the nail on the head there, though. But I think it's about if you think sitting there thinking, I didn't think I needed it, but maybe I do. Then maybe that's the conversation you have in your head, and I think that's when the social pressure and peer pressure would set in to say that you need something, because you don't. It's all about if you want it. If you want it, fine. Do it for yourself, for no one else. And again, only if you can afford it and only if it's medically safe.
Yep. Completely agree.
Well, we're smashing these hot takes, babes. Yes.
Okay. Hot take number three. We want to talk about weight loss, but more specifically around the kind of narrative that weight loss injections like Ozempic, Wegovy and bariatric surgery are the easy weight loss options. And we also want to talk about, you know, the kind of this, you know, the idea that it's a negative thing to want to lose weight, and you know, can you be body positive at the same time?
Yeah, it's such a huge thing. I mean, that could be a whole episode, couldn't it, Lauren? Yeah. I'm sure we've covered it a million times, but this is our hot takes, so we will do this as quick as possible. And I think one of the biggest misconceptions about probably the content that we both post online and our philosophy of being anti-diet culture is that we're anti-diet and we're anti-weight loss. No, absolutely not. It's personal. Do what you want to do. There is, you know, issues and whatever around it. We've talked for four seasons about what those are, but we are not anti-weight loss. But it is a very weird situation to be in, to say that you are someone who is body confident and body positive but wants to lose weight. I toe that line every single fucking day of my life. You know the thing that came recently about, you know, like how often do men think about the Roman Empire? Well, my Roman Empire is weight loss. I probably think every day about losing weight and how easier life was when I was a size 12, right? Natural, normal, fine. Moving on. I'm not going to be that again. I'm a size 20. Fine with it. Moved on. So I think that's it, isn't it? It's okay to want to lose weight, but I know I'm not going to, so I'm not going to change and limit my life because of it. So that's where I'm at.
No, and I completely agree with you. And I think there will always be a desire in me to also want to be smaller, because I know that life would be easier. And that my fitness would improve as well. Because I think one thing I'm struggling with lately actually is like stamina, and just feeling like I had a couple of days in London recently back to back, and I needed a day off the next day just to sit on the sofa and do nothing. And I was like, I'm 34. Like this is not okay. But I think I just want to touch on what you said about not being anti-diet or anti-weight loss. I'm not anti-weight loss at all. I would say that I am anti-diet because I don't think diets work. I think that we go into that diet binge mentality. There's so much scientific research to show that your body will try and fight back to get to a natural set point weight, and that it basically goes into diet mode, and then you go into that whole, you know, what we've talked about before of like, okay, can't eat on Wednesdays because it's weighing day. Mustn't even drink water.
Oh, just
the
trigger, honestly.
it's so easy for us to say like, oh, the focus should be on health. Like you say, focus on health promoting behaviours. And that's the official line, isn't it? But I think like if we're just being honest, like I think I'm the same as you, Lauren. There are days where I think, oh, I just wish I was just a bit smaller. And that doesn't mean that I don't accept myself, and it doesn't mean that I don't live my life to the full. And it's hard, and maybe one day I won't feel like that, but I'm just being honest, that's just how I feel. I do not like the narrative that weight loss injections and particularly bariatric surgery are the easy options, because I say this as someone who was literally 3 days away from having a gastric bypass and having to jump through the hoops for probably about a year and a half, I think, with like a tier 3 weight management company organization through my doctor and through the NHS. It's a lifelong thing. This is life threatening. Just first of all, you can literally die on the table. I mean, you're literally not going to be able to eat more than the size of an egg for the rest of your life. That means no Christmas dinners, no birthday cake. Like it's a huge decision, and you have to be very, very careful about what you eat. You can get something called dumping syndrome, where if you do actually overeat or you eat the wrong foods, sorry, I say wrong foods as in like foods that are not suitable for your surgery. So if you eat foods that are like very high in sugar, very high in fat in a large quantity, you'd be very, very poorly and end up in hospital. You're also probably going to be nutrient deficient for the most of your life and have to take an array of supplements. So I really don't like the narrative that bariatric surgery is the easy way out. You still have to work with it as well. Like everyone says, like it's a tool. And I having gone through that process, although not having had it, I can see that it's not something that I think is right for me personally, but I don't like have any issue with people that do it. I think it's whatever, like you said, it's whatever's right for you.
It really worries me because, and again, we've talked about it personally and on the podcast of how many people's weight gain or current body is due to emotional factors, not the physical of putting food in your mouth. And that cannot be fixed with an injection in your body or wherever those go, or a pill, or with weight loss surgery. It can't. Like, physically, if you're having the bariatric surgery, you said you're not going to be able to eat as much and you'll know it, but you'll want to. And then you'll, I think you said, like, the depression rates afterwards are quite high.
Yeah, and addiction replacement as well.
Oh, God. Yeah, I don't know. I think I've got my own personal views on that. But the thing is, like you said, it's a personal decision, but one that has to be made with so much consideration for every aspect of it. My goodness. And not an easy way out.
I also don't really like the fact that it seems to be the kind of almost default option now for doctors and other people. Like, well, have you considered bariatric surgery? It's like the only, yeah, I do. I personally feel like someone is in a very large body that it's almost like the go-to, like the only option, sort of once you've got past a certain size. And I find that a bit problematic, really. I find it sad that that seems to be like the only solution. But saying that, then we've got these sort of weight loss injections that have massively like grown in popularity. And I think that it really is due to like people like celebrities talking about it on Twitter.
But unfortunately, they are all in a very unique position where they dictate beauty standards. We just had a conversation about lip fillers. Where does that come from? That came from Kylie Jenner. That didn't come from anybody else. And so now you've got Kylie and Kim looking tiny. And what I'm seeing on TikTok is Ozempic being fashionalized, really. I saw someone, a content creator I love, who has lost weight recently. Fine, whatever. But all her comments are like, the Ozempic is Ozempic in.
I don't, this is the thing. So the weight loss injections like Ozempic came about to help people living with obesity. You can, there's so many different terms. I just prefer the word fat. The medical world terms it living with obesity. So that I'm just going to use that just for now, even though we know BMI is bollocks.
I also, living with obesity wants to be on my hot take. I'm not living with it. I'm just, what?
Just
shut
fat.
Up.
Yeah, I'm just fat, babes.
Bloody doctors.
Yeah, so... So the company that makes the weight loss injections didn't anticipate that it would be such a big thing. It's because of the celebrity influence. And that is why there is a shortage of demand. So that is factually correct. So people that actually need the drug, it was originally used for people to help people with diabetes. A side effect is that basically it's supposed to suppress your appetite, the hormone in your brain that controls your appetite. So what we now have is a lot of people that have either tried to go on it. I know somebody that started on it for a month and then couldn't get it. And then there's people that actually need it that can't get it. So that worries me slightly. I also worry that it could either trigger or worsen eating disorders for some people. My biggest concern about the weight loss injections, and the reason why I didn't personally want to take them, is because the FDA has only approved them for use up to 2 years. So I remember once a doctor said to me, like, Laura, do you have a permanent problem with food? And I said, yes. And he said, then you need a permanent solution. This was a bariatric surgeon. But I did kind of agree with him. And that's why I don't like diets. And that's why I'm very anti-diet culture, because I know that in the long term, they're probably not going to work for me. And a lot of it, like you said, won't address the mental and the emotional reasons. With the weight loss injections, that's why I was very against them. However, a friend of mine called Sarah LeBrock, who runs a charity called All About Obesity, and I had a very interesting conversation with her the other day, and she was saying that the only reason they've been approved for up to 2 years is because that's all they've tested. And that she thinks, her projection is that in 10 years' time, it will revolutionise weight loss and that people will be on them permanently, and it will be just like managing diabetes, like managing other diseases. But her stance is very different than mine. She's a big fan of the whole living with obesity thing. But it was a very interesting conversation that I had with her, and I was like, okay. And this is, again, like, each to their own. I get it. When the weight loss injections came out, the media and the hype around it was like heralded as this miracle weight loss solution. The thing is, right, is that if something sounds too good to be true, it normally is. So you have to go in with it with a little bit of a pinch of salt. It's not going to be right for everybody. They're also very, very costly at the moment because they're private and I think you can't get them on the NHS. So I understand why people want to do them. I genuinely get it. It goes back to us saying, you know, I think there's always going to be a small part of us that is going to want to be smaller. I hope that isn't the case. And I like to think that we live a full and happy life as we are and we promote all that and all the good stuff. So I do get it, is what I'm saying. I think it's just, it's about the individual, but also I'd like to see, yeah, that research extended. If it can be something that is for the longer term, I'm not against it. Like, I'm not anti-weight loss. I'm not anti-health. And I don't like it when people assume that. I'm always going to fly the flag for fat people because I know how fucking hard it is. And I will always be an advocate for it, whatever.
I think it's such an interesting topic. And it's one that perhaps the ins of it, we don't really know too much about. What we know is we're seeing celebrities who have used it and glamorizing it. And now regular people glamorizing it in their droves. I think if... The main thing, again, I cannot stress this enough, how Laura and I both feel, is body autonomy. You do you, hun, right? Everything that we've talked about today, you do you. If you think that is right for you, look into it. If it's not right for you, don't do it. That's not going to be something that I look into because it's not for me. That's absolutely fine. What I will say, if you're thinking about doing anything medical, so the surgery, the injections, pills, you know, we used to get them in like boots and stuff, and I think you probably still can. You get like diet pills and stuff, and they're just like laxatives essentially.
I don't really, but I do remember like a lot of influencers, and I say celebrities in air quotes, people from reality TV shows promoting, like, was it Skinny Jab?
Yeah, or Skinny, whatever, yeah. It was called, yeah, a bunch of that. So it's just the next level of that. But I plead with you from the bottom of my heart, if you were looking into anything like that, please speak to a medical professional again. Like, obviously, Laura and I's conversation is just, we're just chatting away. So speak to somebody who is a medical professional if you're thinking about going down those lines. And I think it comes down to anything that we talk about on this podcast that we've talked about since day one is the kind of like the why are you doing it, and make sure perhaps those reasons are right. Because as we said in the cosmetic surgery hot take, if you want to do stuff, cool beans, go for it. There's nothing wrong with wanting to do whatever you want to do, but perhaps just making sure you're doing it for a right reason.
And if it's because you want to be healthier, then you can make healthier choices. I know that's easier said than done. But I remember when we had like Dr. Josh Woolrich on the show, and he was saying that, like, if people say like they want to have or lose weight or have bariatric surgery because they want to be healthier, okay, but you can have bariatric surgery and eat nothing but ice cream.
Yeah, good point.
And actually, yeah, there is a lot of research to back that up. It's that if you focus more on your health rather than weight, it's better for you in the long run. Because, I mean, how many of us in the past have like starved ourselves, done diets or like crazy amounts of exercise, and you get on the scale and you're like, I've only lost a pound, and then you give up, don't you?
And you stop.
Whereas actually, if you feel better, you've got more energy, you're sleeping better, but because you haven't lost the weight, and that's why I think, you know, not focusing on weight and weight loss. For me personally, I find that isn't helpful. That marker, I haven't weighed myself in a really long time. Because I know that my weight is not equal to my worth, and it's triggering. I don't need to know that. So I'd personally rather focus on health. But it's so nuanced, it's so complex. And I think obviously me and Lauren are so worried about upsetting people and saying the wrong thing. And I hope that, you know, you guys listening, that, you know, that there will definitely be some things you don't agree with, or you might be sitting here listening and you've had bariatric surgery and you think it's the best thing ever, and like, we would be really happy for you that that's the case. Or you might be really anti it. You know, like, it's just our opinion, really. And it, you know, do with it what you want. Put it in the bag of dicks if it makes you feel better. obviously, we don't want to, you know, risk upsetting anyone. But, you know, that is the nature of this podcast and our lived experience as well. Like, you know, we're just being truthful and we're just being honest and sharing vulnerably, like, where we stand.
Hell yeah. And that's all we can do. We can only share from our point of view. Laura, that was a fantastic hot take. I don't think it was hot or a take. It was a podcast episode in itself. But I love that. And that was all of our hot takes. I've really enjoyed this.
That were neither hot or takes.
I've really enjoyed this, Laura. I loved that.
It's been fun. Yeah. I like chatting just us. It's nice, isn't it?
Hell yeah. We've learned something and we've had some laughs.
Hopefully we've not been cancelled and offended too many people.
It's the dream.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. We will be back with a brand new episode next week, of course. But if you want more of us in the meantime, make sure you follow us on Instagram at Go Love Yourself Pod is our handle. Or join our Facebook group. Just search for Go Love Yourself Community. And if you want to get in touch with us, you can also email us golove@crowdnetwork.co.uk.
And you can also support the show by subscribing on Patreon or Apple Podcasts, where you can get ad-free and early episodes for £1 a week. Or you can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. And a reminder about our live recordings. They are coming up in London very soon. And you can find more info about them in the episode description. I have loved this episode. I hope you've enjoyed it as well. And we will see you next week. Love you, bye!
Crowd Network. A place where you belong.
Hello, I'm La La La, Let Me Explain, and this is It's Not You, It's Them, But It Might Be You. I'm here to answer all your questions around love, relationships, sex, dating dilemmas, and anything else you throw my way. Join me 3 times a week as we work through the depths of this intimacy pool together. From Sony Music Entertainment, listen and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.